We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, what up? Ty Tribbett. Welcome, brother.
What's Thanks up? For having me. What's up, y'all? How y'all feeling?
Peace. Congratulations. They just won a Grammy, 2024 Ooh. Grammy for Best Gospel Album. So congratulations. Ooh,
thank you.
That's three in total.
Yeah, three in total, man. I'm so hype about that and excited. Yeah. You know, I didn't. It wasn't needed, but it's appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Do you pray for stuff like that?
Nah, I used to.
Okay.
I used to, but I had to get my, you know, the reason why I do what I do, I had to get that in order. I had, you know,
intention.
Intention, exactly. Yeah. Last year, I was nominated for two Grammys, and I just knew I was going to walk away with at least one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I walked away with none, it was like a soul check for me. Like, all right, well, why do you do what you do, bro? Mm-hmm. You got to just kind of reevaluate all of that stuff. So I kind of like stop needing it or stop wanting it so bad and stop so ambitiously going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just stick to the reason why I do what I do. Have fun doing it. Bless the people. Show love. Give them Christ. And this year when I walked away with it, yo, we literally sat like in the back because the Gospels, they don't present the Gospel on the Grammys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got the pre-awards. They could do ours like 9 o'clock in the morning. You know what I'm saying? So, I had to wake up all early and we went to the pre-show and it's open seating there so you can sit anywhere you want.
Yeah.
So my manager like, yo, come on, let's go to the front, bro. I'm like, nah, man, I'm just going to sit back here. We're going to take an L. I don't like that long walk of shame. It's too far.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just stay close to the exit. So we was in the back chilling. I got it all on video. And they calling everybody's name. Of course, when they called my name, I was like, what? Because I was really content. I had to learn really just to be content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, being overly ambitious just robs you of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Then you just get on and feel like going down that rabbit hole. So just love what
you had to make. You had to take that long walk up to the stage.
Then. I had to take that long walk. I was running like, oh, my goodness, trying to figure out what I'm going to say on the way. Because I literally didn't expect to win. But, you know, I was going to be there to show them how to be a good sore loser in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But
what do you want to win?
I'm just proud of you every time you nominated. 13 nominations.
Ain't that crazy?
So even without winning the awards, I'm like, you're recognized, like,
True.
By so many to be nominated 13 times.
True.
Like,
true.
I love that.
After a while, you just get used to, I should start celebrating the nominations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because
it's a lot of people that don't make it there either.
Exactly. You know? Or you just pile up the L's.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 13, but I lost. Just be.
And your albums, great. Your work touch a lot of souls.
So, word. Yeah. Thank you for that.
You know, to me, I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. I love doing what I do and why I do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. People leave my shows. They're not just turned up, but they got hope. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They got inspiration, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And they're healing and all of that's taking place. So I love what I do and why I do it, man. Yeah. It's a blessing.
And you from Camden, right?
Camden, New Jersey, bro.
And then, so you lived there your whole life?
Or, yeah.
And then Florida?
Then Houston for a year, then Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, so growing up in Camden, you know. Well, if you don't know, y'all should know here, you know, New York, y'all know about Camden.
Did you ever ask God why?
So many days I asked God why, but I had to get it in the trenches. I had to learn in the gutter how to be in the valley before you be in the mountain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can know what it is to struggle. Mm-hmm. So I can know what it is to be impoverished. So I can know what it is, you know what I mean, to be underprivileged. So when it happened for me, I could reach back and say, hey, this is how you do it. This is how you come up and help others, man. So
I think it takes people like you, because when I see somebody like you have the success that they have from Camden, you really don't hear a lot of good things about Camden.
No, for real. This murder capital of the world, mm-hmm. sometime, or the most violent city. I remember those stats growing up. Like, mm-hmm. hey, Camden's on the map. We in the newspaper for what? Oh, most violent city. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's not. And Baltimore probably mm-hmm. not too different. No shade to Baltimore. I love.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, coming out of that, you know, I'm glad I had like the little family church we had, little 50 member family church mm-hmm. that we had, just kept us grounded, kept us focused, and mm-hmm. I was just like tunnel vision the whole time, and slowly but surely, I just saw myself not like my surroundings. Mm. Mm. Now that was a challenge in itself because you don't know you're different until you know you're different, mm-hmm. yeah. and then you know you got family to deal with and friends to deal with who are like, oh, don't change on us, da 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 da. But mm-hmm. bro, if I don't change, I can't help you. You know what I'm saying? So that was a challenge for me at a very young age, knowing I was talented, knowing I could play, knowing I could do music, and knowing it was what's the word? Extraordinary. It wasn't mm-hmm. just normal. So that change was a challenge, but you know, I'm glad that all things worked together for good, man.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, know what I'm saying? With being a gospel singer, do you feel like it's a lot of pressure on you where it's almost like people look at your life differently, right? Like it's almost like they want you to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Do you have a hard time mm-hmm. dealing with that?
I dealt with that before I became a gospel artist. So speaking of growing up in this small church, my grandmother was the pastor first. My dad was on the organ. I'm watching him every Sunday like, oh, my God, this guy is amazing. I start playing. Then he became the pastor. So I got that pressure as a PK. The perfection, all of that. I got all of that pressure as a young kid, like 12, 9. Since I've been born, spotlight's been on me to be the poster child for what Christ is. I'm like, yo.
And pastor kids be the worst.
Yeah.
Why you... They do. Pastor kids be the worst.
Because of the pressure, though.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure.
Leads you to a life of crime.
Damn.
Too much handcuffs leads to rebellion, man. Yeah, you know what I mean? That legalism and that religious structure, it leads to like, yo, mm-hmm. I'm not cut out for this. I didn't sign up for this. Y'all signed up for this.
Yeah.
And the expectation is too much for me, yo. So I just rebel. People go completely opposite of the ways that their parents bring them up when you bring them up too strict. Mm. I came up the same way. I had the pressure of perfection, and I tried to live up to it until my parents got a divorce. And I'm like, whoa! In my day, that was like, you know, it's normal now. Every day it happens. Every day. Mm. Back then, it was like a culture shock for me. It shattered my whole world. I was like, bump the church then. What I'm doing here? Why am I being faithful to God in here? Man, my dad, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? That's when I went to all the clubs, did all that stuff. I didn't dance, though. I just played at all the clubs. I didn't, you know, I still didn't drink, didn't smoke. Just,
yeah.
I just went and played the keyboard at all the clubs for, like, Music Soul, Child, Jill Scott, everybody in the Philadelphia area, the Roots and all that stuff. So I'm in there playing hymns to the beats. They don't even know what I'm doing. But I kind of had my little rebellious moment during that time just to find out who I am outside of y'all expectations, man, outside of who y'all saying God is to me. Let me find them for myself. Let me figure out who I am for myself.
Yeah.
And it's been the most liberating thing, and I've been walking in that since.
I feel like that's a journey, and that's a form of liberation every human has to experience in their life. Like, and you should like strive to feel that.
No, literally, whether you're religious or in church or not, right. Just the family, just mm-hmm. the just family bond. You know what I mean? Blood, all of that. Family can bind you, bro. Family mm-hmm. can keep you stuck in a level that you're never supposed to be in for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. People who love you can bind you through their care, through their love, through their expectations, through manipulation, through emotional manipulation. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of things that keep us from being who we're supposed to be in this earth because of other people's expectations and demands. So I'm all about freedom, man. My whole life is freedom. My whole mantra is about freedom. So when you contact me or hear my music, people think it's energy. I like to call it the spirit of freedom, man, liberating everybody. Because mm-hmm. you need that. And when you don't know you bound, that's the worst. When you don't know you're bound, that is the worst. When you become used to being manipulated, used to being controlled, used to being used, you can either be used Ooh, or good. Loved. Mm-hmm. You can't be both. Mm. You can either be used or loved. And a lot of people are being used and not realizing they're not experiencing true love, man. Mm-hmm. So they just get used to being used. Like, all right, I'll do this for you. I'll come through for you. Whenever you call me, I'm there. And they think that's love, but a lot of them are being used.
Did a lot of those triggers resurface in your marriage when you got separated?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, me and my wife separated. It was bad, yo. It was very, very bad for me because I didn't think my whole thing when my father messed up with my dad. I'm like, I ain't never gonna be like him. I'm mm-hmm. never gonna do that. Nah, 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 nah. Mm-hmm. So I went the pride way. So my heart just really was like. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I got more exposure than he ever got. I got more notoriety than he ever got. And I'm still ain't going to do what he did. I'm still, mm-hmm. man, that pride comes before a fall. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I fell hard. And I moved to L.A. My wife was in Jersey. We just separated. I didn't think we would ever, you know, get back together again. I was just out there working on me. She was out there working on her, not really trying to get the marriage back together. And I mm-hmm. think when you try to do that too soon, mm-hmm. sometimes you damage it because your point is just to try to get them get back together, but not work on you because you mm-hmm. still got stuff you got to work on. I still had stuff I had to work on. I still had weaknesses I had to work on. And so I'm out there working on me. She's working on her. I'm praying. She's praying. And God kind of just brought our hearts back together. But all through that whole time, I realized my mortality. I realized my humanism. I realized my weaknesses. I realized who I was for real. Like, this religious perspective, I became that. Like now I'm a pastor, right? But I don't say I'm a pastor. I'm just a child of God with an assignment. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I'm a child mm-hmm. of God who got something to say to a certain group of people. Mm-hmm. I don't become my assignment. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But that's the world today. If I were to meet you in the street, the first thing I'll say is, what do you do? Not who are you? You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And I think we lose who we are and what we do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I got lost in all of that and I forgot who I was.
And I read that you battled with deep depression during that time. You contemplated suicide. What got you out of that?
Literally what got me out of suicide initially was just people. It was just people around me too much. I couldn't get by myself. It wasn't my prayer life. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was physical people around me. Ty, you good? Ty, you want to eat? Ty, I'm like, could y'all just leave so I can pop these pills? Because y'all just leave so I can just try to do all this stuff. But depression is a deep, 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 dark spirit, man. And I'm glad that I had people around me to help me get through that season, man. Just all those thoughts and all those suggestions that come to us, man, and we feel like it's us. I love that. I had a little series that I call Ghostbusters, right? So because there's other ghosts besides the Holy Ghost. And if you don't differentiate what ghost is speaking to you, bro, you could be lost in that whole rabbit hole of depression, mm-hmm. suicide, stress, all of these things. My issue is we let all these ghosts talk to us and we do what they say and we take on the moods and the attitudes of all these voices that are speaking to us. Therapy helps, counseling helps, but ultimately the Spirit of God is the only one that could really, you know, deliver us and rescue us from that, man. Mm-hmm. And I had that, but I was there and I couldn't believe I was there. I love my life. I love my wife. I thought I was good. But then when tragedy hits you and you just can't take it and you just feel like you have no other option, it was really the embarrassment. Mm-hmm. It was really the pride of everybody know who I am. It really wasn't. Life was so hard. It was how I saw myself and how I thought I was to people. So when you just drop who you are, like, yo, when you just kill who you think you are, man, mm-hmm. just be nothing. The Bible says, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll gain it. Mm-hmm. So I lost the celebrity side of me. I lost the gospel yeah. artist. I forget being a father, forget being a husband, forget all these things I think I am. I'm just Ty right now.
Yeah.
And then that's when salvation began to come.
Because you really are bigger than your image, and it was all in the image that you were living in.
Yeah, but that's not social media today. You are your image today.
Yeah.
The world, I hate that. Yeah,
but you understand what I'm saying? You are who you post today. So
but that's why it's also a lot of suicide and a lot of depression, a lot more than we see it, right. You know.
Well, how challenging is it to be real on social media? You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I know some people who will never be behind the camera without their lashes on, or who will never get on there mm-hmm. without certain things. So how challenging is it to be your authentic self yeah. on social media? I don't think, or onto the world. I don't think people are ready to bear that nakedness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's going to take somebody who's unashamed to be like, hey, this is me, and love me or leave me, and just run the risk of that. But I don't think people are ready for that.
I did that early. I got a little, it's a little ponytail.
Yo, word.
It's still going around.
That's why. You trying to get it off.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it off now, but I'm like, yo, that's when I first started, and it was out there. They put it on t-shirts and everything like Jess.
I think I bought one.
Yeah, it was a lot of, I sold out, but I was like, you know what, this is me.
I want one.
You want one now?
No, you don't.
But that's what I loved about you, Jess. That's what I love. We like, too. You understand what I'm saying? She real. Like,
damn, Jeff don't give a fuck.
Right. But would you do it, though? You admire that, but would you do it? Would you do it?
If I had the ponytail, hell yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
He wants a ponytail.
There is a picture of Charlamagne with hair and look kind of like it starts back here, but you never posted that picture.
I gotta see that.
I think you and your whole situation is just a testament to the glory of God. You and your wife are together now, right?
Yeah, she's right here, right behind me, man.
What
I'm Shantae in the building. Now you good,
girl.
And yeah. she survived the car. Y'all been through a lot.
Yes. Yo, a whole lot. It seemed like a series of unfortunate events. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And her life, I mean, it just starts from, I was going to say it starts from birth. Everybody's life starts from birth. but with growing up with parents like I had, and she was basically fatherless for a long period mm-hmm. of time. Mm-hmm. You grow up with a whole lot of unmet needs. You know what I mean? You have needs as a child that you should have met that you don't have met. Security, protection, encouragement, validation. All of these things, we have to grow up without that, right? Mm-hmm. So now we got to make the choice of either like living without it or killing the desire, period. Mm-hmm. So now we commit what we call, my man Tim Fletcher calls soul suicide. Mm. So you commit soul suicide because as a child, a 3-year-old, I need affection. I don't know I need it, but naturally I need it. And if I don't get it, I just kill the desire mm-hmm. for it. So now mm-hmm. I'm in a relationship and I don't know how to be affectionate.
Yeah.
So, you understand what I'm saying? Or mm-hmm. I got kids and I don't know how to show that because I've been killed that. So now we're trying to like restore those things and trying to do it in the context of marriage. I married her at 18. I was 21. So that's a kid. Those are kids. Mm-hmm. When I look at them ages now, I'm like, man, those are kids. That's a really little kid.
How long y'all been together?
28 now?
Yeah. That's
28 years.
Me and my wife, 26.
Oh, for real?
And me and his wife,
30.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
Oh, congrats, bro. Yeah. Congrats. Yeah. Hey, so y'all know what I'm talking about.
Man, listen, I relate to your story so much, even when you talk about how, you know, what you saw in your father and not wanting to be like that.
Yeah.
And then finding out that you became just like that later.
Do you understand?
Oh my God.
Do you understand, man? That's like a shock to your whole, system, man. You got to do a whole lot of rewiring, man. And my thing is, I think a lot of people know they need help. Where they go to get help is just as important as knowing you need help.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? So therapists and all that stuff, I think that's mm-hmm. all is great, but I like to go to the source. I like to go to the creator, and I believe God is the creator of all of us. If you don't turn to God, man, you'll get a band-aid, you'll get medicated, mm-hmm. but the real healing is in Jesus Christ.
I believe in God and therapy.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
And plant-based medicine. And healing, and meditation,
okay.
and Reiki.
I agree. I can't smoke the weed with you, brother, but I understand. But I feel you.
It's from the earth.
It's from the earth. He made it. I ain't mad at you, bro. I ain't here to judge at all. But, you know, I just feel like when something else becomes your source, something else is your source. You know what I mean? And that's the scary part to me. I don't want another thing besides God to be my source. Everything could be a resource. And if God leads me to that, fine. But if I just choose it, I could damage myself and my life and what I want and desire to do or be in life.
But what do you think about some of the, it seems like for a while, maybe the last 10 years, it seems like being a pastor was cool, right? So it was like, like everybody wanted to be a rapper. Everybody wanted to be a podcast host. And it seems like a lot of people wanted to be a pastor for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
You missed that era, the past era?
Yeah, I don't remember the past era.
You don't? Man, it was building them huge churches. Everybody was, I think the pastor phenomenon came from, oh man.
Getting money in the church. It's a bunch of different things. You can speak to it more, but I think getting money in the church and how you look and how you're praised is, and you forget that he's supposed to be praised, but how they praise you and all that type of stuff. So yeah, I see a lot of Instagram pastors out there, but you know it is what it is.
You killed it. You killed that whole thing. I think a lot of pastors were not called the pastor. They just, you know, study, you go to school, and then you just become a pastor, like you become a manager at, you know, Publix or something like that. And that's unfortunate for a lot of people who invest their, you know, money, time, attention, and their soul into people who they believe are literally called from God. I don't believe a lot of pastors are. I think it's a system now. Oh God, it's a system. Everything is a system, and systems work with or without God. So I think the institution of church is whack. I think how church is ran is whack. I think the religious system and structure is whack. I don't subscribe to it, even though I grew up in it. I benefited from it, but I learned that God is not the church. And once I realized, whoa, God ain't church. For me, you know what I mean? I ain't from the streets. I'm from the church. So that was a huge thing as well.
It's in the Bible, though. It says you can't even find God in a man-made temple.
Why don't we read that, though? How often do you hear that sermon? No, you hear people, pastors make the people about the church. We got the church name, we church and the church and the bumper sticker, the church. The church should be about the people. Should be about the people, but the church makes the people about the church. So all churches now are a movement. But they're not about the people. They're not about serving and loving the people. So I just kind of pulled that. We online right now. We're not even in a building, a physical building or nothing like that. So Live Church, shout out to Live Church. I love y'all so much. Live Church Orlando, we're online right now. And because we had an issue with a building. And now I'm like, hold up. What's going on here? Like, do we need a bit? Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, in order to do what we need to do, affect people, serve and love and minister, I'm just looking at everything differently at this point because the church structure has really, I mean, there's a lot of people who won't even go to church, obviously. Yeah. When the last time y'all been to church?
I go every Sunday.
Okay, not you.
No.
He goes on TV.
I go Bedside Baptist.
Oh, you on TV.
I like watching Potter's House online.
Oh, yeah, okay. Cause, so you
Potter's House. Okay. Wait to jump down your throat and be like, no, you don't.
He said, I go every Sunday. Online. But why don't you go? But why not?
Honestly, it's because it's not too many churches that speak to my spirit. I really do like what they do in the Potter's House. I think there's a lot of anointing in that church, from Bishop T.D. Jakes, the Sire Jake Roberts, the Pastor Torre. So even when I'm in Dallas, if I'm there on like a Saturday, I'll stay just to go on like that.
You Sunday. Physically go?
Oh, absolutely.
What about
absolutely.
You, Envy?
For me, I used to hate going to church as a kid, right? Cause Baptist church, you stay in there 4 or 5 hours. Especially if somebody's getting baptized, you got to dress up. So it made me not necessarily love it, right? Mm-hmm. And I noticed that with my kids, when I took them to church, it became a chore. Like, I got to get dressed. I got this. But now, on Sunday morning, we can cook breakfast together, sit down on the couch and watch it, and it's comfortable. They ain't got to get dressed. Mommy ain't got to do the kids' hair.
Yeah.
They ain't got to make sure things are right because they got to sit in the. Nah, it's not that at all. It's all about the church, which I prefer. So, yeah, we go online. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't have to just stick to one church. You know, as a kid growing up in New York, we always had to go to Brooklyn to grandma's church. There was no option. It was
got
not,
you.
Let me try something else. Now on TV, one day I can turn Temple of Dollar, next day I can turn day I can turn, and I can get different feelings and my kids can as well. So I prefer that as well, too.
Why you don't go, Jess?
He was going to ask me that.
You saw my left hand like this. I was coming right to you, Jess.
Let the pastor ask me. So I still belong to my home church in Baltimore City, Restoration Christian Ecclesia Church. And I'm not in Baltimore on Sundays anymore, you know, because I have to be here. I got to wake up 3:45 in the morning. But even before that, I was doing shows Thursday through Sunday. So I wasn't able to go. And if I just try more, I can definitely get on the road and come up here after church, because church is from 10 to 12, 10 to 1 sometimes. But I still pay my tithes, you know what I mean? I still give offering. My mom's a deacon. I grew up in that church. It was called Holy Church of Christ when I was younger. And my son has been christened in that church, and my baby that I'm having now will go and get christened in that same church.
Congrats.
I don't want to go to another church. You know? Now, I will listen to a sermon from someone else. Like, you know, I listen to Sarah Jakes. I will, and different podcasts as well, but I just, My reason is simply just an excuse. I just don't go to church because I travel. So
okay.
Much.
Yeah. I get
that's
that.
That's literally
but
it.
What do y'all look for when you go to a church? What do y'all look for? Like you said, everyone don't touch your soul. Don't minister to your spirit.
It's not about what I look for. It's about what I feel. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
It's a feeling. You know what I mean? Like you just,
I know what you mean.
Some people just speak to your soul. Like, you know, I think Sarah Jakes right now, man,
she
at least for
you.
Me,
she's talking to you. I love
it. Like all the time.
Yeah.
Like, so even when I'm just listening to her podcast. So I just think some people have an anointing on them for the moment that we are in. And just like her father had it and still has it, you know,
I think she has
it for the current moment that we're in.
Word.
And then another thing. So growing up in a church where, you know, I'm so used to that back in the day, like for instance, I don't want to go to a big, big, big church because the pastor don't know me. I'm used to going to talk to the pastor after church, going to get that individual prayer, going
personal,
to tell him what I'm struggling with and all that. As a teenager, I was going through a lot of things, you know what I mean? So I would be able to go and talk to my uncle. He is the bishop, like go and talk to him and stuff like that. But I've gone to churches where, you know, pastor don't even know you, and he not even tripping off getting to know nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He just come and he do his thing. They sing a whole album before he start the sermon.
Only one album?
Right? You shout. I see people shouting. I see, you know, all of that, and that's what I'm used to too, because you're not in cut a little rub in the church.
Okay.
You know? I come from there.
Okay. You shout?
And then absolutely not.
I grew up Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
So I ain't start going to church till later. So
got
I was
you.
Too grown for that Holy Ghost.
Ain't going around knocking on the doors. How you doing? How you know?
He said too grown for that Holy Ghost.
Saturday.
Because a lot of that be performative.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
You ain't got time for that, but you got time to walk down every block and knock on everybody's door, handing the pamphlets.
Every Saturday.
Yeah, nobody got time for that.
And too early. Y'all come
so
too early.
Early.
If you came around noon, it'll be all right.
So, the personal has been lost. You know what I mean? And then it becomes to the point where like I said, the pastor feel like he's God.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
New churches and
that's what I meant by churches is whacking. Because I know I went on religious whacking. Mm-hmm. Church people probably like, Ty, you.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best?
Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First. And we definitely do. Join us while our host, Vico Ortiz, and our abuelita, Liliana Montenegro, play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just at my church last week.
Yeah.
I don't mean that. I mean that stuff right there.
Yeah.
And what it's become. I have found it, I think I said it right, challenging to know everyone in my church though.
Mm-hmm.
I found it challenging. Okay. I try to be personable. I stay after church and just, I stand there. Whoever want to come to me, they can talk to me. I don't got the 80 security guards and all that
stuff.
Right. I stand there, they can talk to me. But it's a challenge to know everybody in the church.
And
that's because it's a bigger
church.
Yeah, it's bigger.
But you know, families though, like in my church, they knew the Casey family, which is grandma and grandkids and parents. They knew the Johnsons and this one and that one. So they knew families.
Overall. And that means something that means a lot to people.
Yeah.
But what if you didn't get that? Does that mean that's not the church for you? Because Moses led millions of people. Mm-hmm. I doubt he knew, you know what I mean? Sure. Jacques Bebos, whatever his name was.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt he knew everyone, but he was still their leader. So I try to look at it from a lot of perspectives, you know what I mean? And make sure people are coming for the right reason and make sure that the pastor is there for the right reason.
Let me ask you a question, right? So growing up in Queens, I went to Catholic school, right?
Mm.
My zone school was the worst. So my parents was making me go to Catholic school. I wasn't going to Andrew Jackson. But I noticed in Catholic school, as a kid, Catholic school's 30 minutes, maybe 35. You up out of there. It's I'm back home. Baptist church is 3 hours. You know what I mean? So
we got more to say. No,
but it's to the point as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like I get everything I need in this 30 minutes. I don't need this in 3.5 hours. So I always wonder, like, why is the church so long?
Because,
you know, you got announcements. Then you pass it. You're going to pass it around twice.
Mm-hmm.
Then sister so-and-so got to talk about
the. And if you don't give enough on the first offering,
you got to come back.
I know y'all got 50 more dollars.
Come on, we almost reached our goal.
Right.
We ain't there
almost.
Yet.
They double back. You know what I mean? And I think that's part of it. Why
it's so long?
Yeah.
I think churches have changed since then. I don't think churches is 3 hours like that anymore.
Nah. I mean, not she.
I think it's like not. I've seen. She going in. I've seen church structures like 90 minutes. You know what I'm saying? They try to be more mindful of that in the more, you know, current churches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They try to cut that down a little bit. But I think the reason is people just have a lot of expression, man. They got a lot to say. They got a lot to get out. You understand what I'm saying? I hated the long churches. I grew up Pentecostal. So I'm Pentecostal church. What? 3 hours? That's it? We just getting.
Right.
Yo, 3 hours. When you say 3 hours, I'm like, what? Man, we just getting started. We ain't had nothing else to do. We ain't had no social media. Sundays was for God, so we was gonna stay all Sunday. So after the 5 hour service, after the 5 hour service, you and then you got a second service. Come on, you better stay for that second service. We got people coming from Baltimore.
Yeah, we did the trail. We got another church coming at 6. We like, damn, yo,
I hated that, but I'm so glad it was like that for me as a young jit. You understand what I'm saying? I'm so glad it was like that for me because it just kept me from a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. You look like Michael K. Williams. Anybody ever told you that?
Yeah.
No. Chris Rock a lot, and I don't know who. I don't know Michael K. Williams. So,
yeah, you got a similar energy as Michael K.
I never met him.
Very energetic, too.
Or I never met him. Maybe we need to hook up or something like that.
Oh, yeah, he did. He done.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, yeah. I guess I can. Don't give me the donkey of the day. Don't give me the donkey of the day. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I don't know.
I was trying to cut him off. He said, I never met the bro. I was like, all right, I can go. Y'all can edit,
right? We can edit.
Y'all will connect one day if you believe what you say you believe. Okay.
You will see him again.
I am done with y'all, yo.
Is it true that you worked on Justin Timberlake's Cry Me a River?
Yeah, I worked on. We was in the Root Studio again. Growing up in the Philly, Camden, Philly area, we did our first album in at the Root Studio. Crazy how we got signed too. Vivian Green is like an R&B soul artist, and she was doing a showcase for Tommy Mottola and Donnie Einar and them at Sony. And she said, "Ty, you know, I was like her cousin at the time. We were like real close. Ty, I want you to MD my." Showcase. I know you ain't asked me this. I'm just taking a, I want you to MD my showcase. I said, all right, bet. I got a little couple people from the choir, couple people from the band. We just put together a little show for Viv. So speaking of energy and all that, we in there with Tommy Mottola and Donnie Einar and all these people at Columbia. And I'm just a young, I'm just playing. I'm like this all the time. If I'm playing, I'm like this. You know what I mean? Everything is energetic. So they like, we love Vivian Green. We're going to sign her to Columbia and we're going to sign this guy right here. Who's that? And they was like, oh, no, that's a gospel guy. You know, he does choir and stuff like that. We're signing Vivian and we're signing a gospel guy. I was like, what? Within 90 days, we had a contract at our crib from Columbia Records. No demo, no black and white, no profile pic, no nothing. And we got signed to Columbia.
With Vivian or y'all were separate?
She got her deal. I got my deal. So my first album came out under Columbia Records called Life. Because of that moment right there, I'm like, well, God is really real. You know what I mean? I mean, you could say being in the right place at the right time, but I believe in the favor of God. And so we were doing our album in the Root Studio. James Poyser, shout out James Poyser, was the producer on that. He's with the Roots now. You see him on Jimmy Fallon every night. And in the Root Studio, they had the plant-based, you know, stuff going on.
Marijuana. The burning bush.
The plant-based.
They had the burning bush going on every single day. GA was in there. We was in there getting contact, you know, trying to sing the praises of the Lord. And just being in that environment, then the Roots was like, oh, you know, why don't you do this? Such and such coming to the studio, such and such coming to the studio, such and such. We just became the choir for, like, everybody who came. So we're on Jessica Simpson's Christmas album. We're on so many albums as background singers. Mm-hmm. So Timbaland came through, and we just caught a vibe. Timbaland, we were just in there just vibing. Tim just put a beat on, and we were just in there playing. I love working with Tim. Tim, if we could ever do that again, bro.
Move to Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, please, let's hook that up.
Yeah.
So we was in there vibing the Cry Me a River. He said, I got this song for Justice. So I'm in there like, okay. So that's me playing that literally on the world.
Wow,
yeah, that's
that.
literally me. And then the background's on there, me and my girl Marsha from Flowetry. did the background.
Legend.
Yeah. Ain't she amazing,
Absolutely.
Yo? Shout out, Marsha. I love you, girl. We did the backgrounds to that. And so just when it came out and we listened to it and it's everywhere, it's in 7-Eleven, it's in Wild. We like, oh, my, that's us. That's us. Yeah. Shut up, boy. That'll be $20. You know what I mean? I'm like, wait, that's us. That's us. Hold on.
Like, no,
give me another
care.
Sprite. Just because like so.
Back end of that must have been crazy.
Yo,
the you back end money must have been crazy.
Did you get paid for it the right way? Oh, damn.
I got $2,000 for it.
Not the pastor.
Oh, man.
Not the You don't do the pastor, though.
Yeah. Well, I know you cried you a river. That's all you got for that. Lord have mercy. $2,000 for Cry Me a River?
Yeah, yeah, I got $2,000 for that.
And but you played it.
I played it. We did the arrangements and all that.
That's the song. That's what everybody knows. That's when, what you hear. When, wow. That's what you look for. Before,
ain't no
before
good
going
to happen to anybody if they don't take care of the pastor.
Tim, give me a call, Tim. It was, yeah, but you know, I didn't know the business at the time, and I was so hyped to get $2,000. I didn't know what to do. Yeah. Y'all think I treated everybody to a fry. Mm. At McDonald's, everybody.
I know, that's right.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was just so hyped, but I didn't know the business then. So I ain't got no hard feelings.
Is your name
on
it at least?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can go check it out. Go check out. Go check out the credits. Go check the credits, yo. Go check the credits.
No, you know what? You give it Chris Rock. Yes. He said, go check the credits, yo.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely Chris. I see it now. Hey, yo. But yeah, dang, to know that you did that. And that was you.
Did a whole lot. Did a whole lot. Usher? What'd you say?
What did you do with Usher?
I ain't do nothing with Usher, I don't think.
Mean, yo.
Am I on there with Usher?
I like that. I mean, Usher says toured with Usher. I didn't know if you work with Usher.
Come on, that's
toured
with Usher. Like, you got to be specific.
Yeah, yeah. So
nobody doing like what you was thinking.
Easy. What you do with Usher? Hold up.
I thought you talking about Usher's in the church for a second.
Come on, yo.
We might have been on the same program. I didn't do. Any, oh, okay, we right. didn't do. You know, I love to meet Usher, man. That's the homie. Okay. Jess. Come on, don't be with the mess right now. Don't be with the mess right now.
Every day. Something with these two niggas, yo, every day.
I get it.
So I'm
I
like, what are you talking about?
It's a lot. It's a lot to go, because you'll never know what they throwing out.
Never.
God told me to tell you congratulations. Let me get you out of here if you're getting some trouble.
Oh, my God.
You're on a tour right now. Talking about the tour.
Oh, you told me.
That was last year. Reunion tour was last year, right?
Reunion tour was last year. It was amazing. I did an All Things New tour in the spring, and then I did the reunion tour in the fall, winter. It was amazing to do that with Kirk and Clark Sisters, Israel, David and Tamela, man, that was incredible. My first arena tour, never did that before. So I'm like, to hear the songs with all them people, it was surreal. So we're doing it again. Mm-hmm. This year, I'm going out May, June on the Only One Night Though tour. Only One Night Though. That's my new single that's out. Only One Night Though. And the tour is going May, June. I'm telling y'all, I have a second win of some sort. I don't know if it's second, third, or fourth, whatever, but I have this momentum behind me right now, and I am so excited to get out there and do this music. I got new music coming, book coming, podcast, all this stuff is coming, you know, off the hinges of the Grammy, and it's just a good season for me right now.
Yeah.
You know, so I want everybody to come.
Good.
What? Right. He is great, man.
Yeah. Let's play the record.
Oh, let's play.
Why not?
Only
play
one night, though?
All right, real quick, let me just say this. So what you did for me growing up is
wow.
To your music, you didn't make it. You and Kirk Franklin was the first two men that did not make listening to gospel boring.
Right. Mm. Right.
Yo, because like me growing up with a deaconess as a mom, and you know, my daddy was a little bit more lenient, you know, but we had to go to church and a little bit playing to what he was saying. Like we had to do, and I had to get the stiff ponytail with the bally balls
on.
My
Lord.
You know, my hair wasn't really long. So when I moved, it didn't,
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to go here, you know, and I had the little church socks and all that. The ones that Jermaine Dupri had on at the Super Bowl.
So,
you know, I will always do that, you know, but like you, when my mom would put you on, she would put you on. Just so we can get excited to go to church.
Wow.
So that is really something
that's
for
crazy,
me.
Just...
You and Kirk Franklin, y'all the only two. My mom be like, all right. And then she knew how to play
on.
Some other people when we was doing too much.
Okay, so
then I'm like, I don't want to listen to
that's
such and
get.
Such.
So now.
But then, but to get us in a mood to go to church, Ty Tribbett and Kirk Franklin.
That's what's
and
up.
And that's what I love about your music.
What was the song you remember the most?
Made in that. No way!
I make it, man.
Pretty. I can't even. Then you go into the image. I can't even. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. Like,
thank you.
And you know nothing. What?
No, 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 that wasn't the ad-lib.
What? You know what I'm saying?
You play too much.
Strike them down, Lord.
God know my heart. Now.
No, I hate that. Strike them down, Lord. Too much. Ladies and gentlemen,
do you think people have, my time is about no. But do you think people have a problem with God?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, think most people honor everybody him, I respect. Know.
Yeah, my whole life has been God fearing, but see, I think that I think that you have to show and prove that through actions. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think it's one thing to say, "Oh, I believe in God, I love God," this and that. But do you really try to at least strive to move the way God would want you to move?
Okay,
I think that's the difficult.
Okay, part. So it's not the belief, it's the behavior.
Yes. Mm. I think yeah.
Sometimes it's the behavior of the messenger.
What you mean?
Somebody will say, "I have an assignment," right? Like you said, "I have an assignment." And maybe your assignment is to help Jess in her situation and her problems. And maybe you do. But then you as a person is not coming from the perspective of somebody giving an assignment. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So let's say if you're here to help Jess in her life and whatever it may be, but, you know, you cheating on your wife with Charlamagne. I look at it as...
That's just an example.
But I just look at it as...
You like light-skinned men. Relax. That's not going to be the thing.
But I look at it as you're giving the assignment, but the person giving the assignment is not living the life.
I disagree with that.
But that's what makes me hard to see, because if you're given the assignment, but you're not living right. It's like, are you really giving the assignment?
But nobody around Jesus was living right.
That's all I'm about to say. Yeah. Like, was your teacher living algebra? Like, you know what I'm saying? Can somebody give you information that'll help you?
Yes.
Still flawed?
That's still, yeah.
Right, but sometimes it's like, is that information true? If you're out there selling crack every night, giving crack to our youth, you might be helping me and saving me, but then you're killing 100 others. It's like, coming from God, or is that coming from a negative or evil, the devil? You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of
hard to trust
separate
it.
Separate and trust it.
But that's where discernment comes in, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So you need the spirit as well. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think. So when I say how you feel about God, I was going to ask how you feel about all of that. You say you're too grown for the Holy Ghost. But
just because I think they be playing.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Some people do.
They do. Most embrace.
Now you be seeing them Harlem shake. I'm like, nah, the Holy Ghost ain't making you Harlem shake in church, man. Like, cut it out, man. You got a whole routine. You
know most embrace. They got some routine. Yeah, they got some choreography for praise.
How about it's the Holy Ghost?
Yeah. I think most embrace the culture of church, but not the Christ of them. You know what I mean? Not Christ.
Right,
so I think that's the issue as well. I think when you try to move without the Spirit of God, not just the Word of God, but the Spirit of God, this is where personal relationship comes in. When you try to move or live your life without the Spirit of God, that is your guide. That is your direction. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit comes to lead and to guide us into all truth. Mm. So there's a lot of wisdom and truth that we forfeit by not being led by the Spirit of God, by being led by Google, by being led by other things like that. Even a therapist, I will add, the Bible says, add to your faith knowledge, but add to your faith. I think we let knowledge replace our faith. Mm-hmm. We let counsel replace our faith. Every new information you get as a believer should add to your faith. And that comes through discernment and knowing the Spirit of God. So take the time to develop that relationship with God. Like, this sounds crazy, but Lord, all right, let me pray. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, take that time to develop. It's your protection. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? From the wolves in sheep's clothing. It's your protection from wrong relationships and dating the wrong person. God knows all. He knows the person you're dealing with. He knows the thoughts and the intents and the motives of the people you're dealing with. So the Holy Spirit is a cheat code to help us deal with life, to make the right business decisions, to make the right decisions for our children, because this child is different from this one. I can't do that on my own. So when you allow the Holy Spirit to be your lead and your guide, I mean, your way will be prosperous, the Bible says. So, and you'll be protected, because everybody is for themselves in this world, and there's much evil and darkness, as you know, as you said, even in clergy college, yo. And I'm tired of it. My wife and I are going to work on, I think, a podcast or something called Flipping Tables. Just to kind of like, not to expose nobody, nothing like that, but like, hey, y'all, you know what I'm saying? This is... choreography praise is not it. You know what I'm saying? We want people to get relationship and not religion, man. So if anything, I'll leave y'all, it will be that. Please, please, please take
time. Well, you got to leave us on a prayer.
Oh, a prayer. Okay.
But, oh, you want the prayer.
Oh, now you want a prayer.
Yeah.
You want the prayer. We
always pray. No, I'm just saying, you ain't worried about what he did 24 hours ago.
Wow.
He prayed for you because he might have smoked the cigarette outside.
Right.
Came
you want to ask that? You want to ask where I was last night before you received my prayer?
Yeah. You can pray for me in the corner. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, but I guess that is important because we never saw presidents or we never saw Obama or his family partying.
Yeah.
Because he had to be the president. You understand what I'm saying? So it's very important. As leaders, what your image is to the people.
Absolutely.
But part of it, to me, I don't know, maybe because I'm a leader.
I've always found God in the most unlikely places.
What you mean by that?
Because he's always in the most unlikely places.
No, I'm just saying, like, I understand what Envy's saying, but I think sometimes you will miss a message from God.
Because
you don't like the
person.
Appearance
or not judging,
of the messenger. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's who God is working through.
That's what they did with Jesus. They was like, who's this guy? That ain't the Savior. That's not him. They missed the Savior of the world still to this day because of how he was presented. So, but I think you have to know him to see him in things. You can see him in the most unlikely places because you know him.
Well, if you know God in you, you'll recognize him in everybody else.
Exactly. I can see him in movies, comic books. I can see him on his wall. I can see anywhere because I know him. So nothing from without can defile you. I always was taught, you can't go to clubs. Oh, when we grew up, you couldn't go to nothing. We couldn't go to movies. We couldn't go bowling. We couldn't play basketball because it was just drinks there, whatever.
I was about to say, what's wrong with bowling?
Drinks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Putting your fingers in the holes.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
You see, yo, he shot out. I got it. I didn't know. I just saw a clip, but he really shot out for real.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what
I'm saying. Like a shadow in the pamphlet.
Right.
But I had to learn nothing from without can defile you. If it's in you, it's in you. If you ratchet, you don't need music to it's,
that's
it's,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. It only exposes what's already in you. So we got to change and challenge what's in us.
Absolutely.
I got one last question because you just made me think of something. This conversation me and Jess had. When they had the New Year's Eve thing and they did the swag surf in the church.
Thank y'all for having me, man. Appreciate
it. Yeah, I thought it was very much clowned out. No. Tell them what you thought. Tell the pastor what you thought up here.
I didn't think it was anything wrong with it because my whole thing was they doing it outside the church anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you're having and it wasn't like it was a regular church service. It was
New Year's Eve. They partying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what did you think? You still thought differently?
I thought that all of them were clowns. I'm very much sorry about that. But
you said all of them were clowns?
Everybody was clowns because that was the explicit version being played. Just like I told Charlamagne. I'm like, I didn't grow up like that in church. Like, it's just certain things you don't play with. You can swag and surf all day. Mm-hmm. Even if he disagreed, I don't care.
Yeah,
I still think that it was clowned out.
I agree with you in that the lyrics was like,
yeah,
I couldn't believe I was hearing
that all day.
Patron,
but don't
Hennessy,
I got Patron on my. This girl got a bad bitch behind me and a friend right beside me.
They didn't play the clean version though.
They didn't play the clean version.
No, it was an explicit version.
I think that was a mistake in production or something like that. I don't think that was intentional.
I think it was very much intentional because the personal play it was a youth, a little youther.
A youth pastor?
And yes. Okay. And was like, you know what? I'm going to just play this by mistake on purpose.
But if it was the clean version, you'd have been okay with it. If it was the clean version, you'd have been okay with it? You can swag surf in church.
Yeah,
but why does it have to be to the song? We can swag surf towards Hydrovis, or we can swag surf to the Kirk Franklin and Lil Baby song.
I got
song.
You on that.
We can swag surf to something. We can swag surf to Silence. We made it into another year.
That's true.
Go to the club after you get out. God bless you. All right, do what you do.
So how you feel about just the instrumental?
That's cool. Instrumental. Right. All right,
you can put whatever words on top of it you want.
Yeah.
But you like the lyrics and everything in there.
I didn't have a problem with it, man.
Really?
Because
you know they're going to listen to it anyway outside.
Yeah, and it's
just a
like,
dirty version of it.
And in my mind, I'm like, whoever was in that church that night is coming back. And to me, that's more important.
Well, if she was in that church, she wouldn't come back.
I definitely wouldn't even. I would walk out right in the middle.
I think the church, and I'm the wildest, craziest, I'm with everything. I'll swag, so whatever.
Right.
I still think that the church should have something a sacred.
Like what?
But don't you gotta meet people where they are? They say meet people where they are.
They take that and they run with that though. I'm not with that.
Nobody met, if Jesus met somebody where they were, he literally went to them. Like when they come to church, they're meeting you where you are.
You coming in here.
is what you're saying. That's what you're saying. I'm with that too. I'm saying
they should be across the street from the strip club so that when they come out. Not inside.
Have you ever been to a strip club?
I have been to a strip club.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, it was what birthday was it? I'm 48 now. It was one of them years when I was like, forget the church. I'm going there. Right. I did not enjoy it. I went one time in my entire life.
Did you pray over the girls?
I didn't pray over them. No, I didn't pray. I prayed over myself more than anything.
Yeah, like, please.
I did not. Huh?
Why didn't you like it?
Oh, man. For real?
Well, your wife is, so never mind.
No.
Why did you go? You got to what state you
I didn't enjoy. I didn't enjoy. Who were you with? I have never talked about this in my life. I said people who know me for real. I didn't enjoy the performers.
What state was it?
Florida.
Should have went to Atlanta.
No, Florida. What you mean Florida? Atlanta got crazy. What you would do, especially in Miami?
Yeah. So I didn't enjoy the performers. Yeah. And I was like, this is why I don't belong here.
Yeah, Booby Trap wasn't open back then. You would have loved Booby Trap.
It's okay.
Or Perfections.
I think God was like, you got it out. You good? A little prodigal moment. You straight? Right. So this is what you wanted. Did you? I'm like, man. This is not what. It's not all
God
the crap
had
to
all
be.
The fours and fives there that night. All the tens was on Tuesday. You should have. God knew what he was doing. God knew exactly what he was doing.
Yo, I don't have time for this.
Tens on Tuesdays. I left, yo. I never ever decided to go back. Ever. It was horrible, bro.
Yeah.
It was horrible, man.
Can you pray for this stupid show?
Please,
right. Hey, first of all, thank y'all for being like cultural leaders, man. I appreciate what y'all do for the culture, yo.
Thank you,
it's amazing what y'all do here. Thank you for keeping it positive. And you crazy. Y'all all crazy. But that's who we are. And we're not ashamed of who we are. Let's pray for a minute.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to just to pray over these blessed people and this show. I pray now, God, that you just continue to be our guide and our lead. There are so many needs just in this room and so many needs of people that are listening. We can't solve every need. We don't know every need, but you promised to supply every need. So I pray from emotions to finances to mental health, to physical health, to relational security. I pray that you just supply every need. Once we're in scarcity and we need, we get desperate and we do things that's not even in our character. So may we never be insecure and may we never lack anything and may we never fear. Perfect love cast out all fear. Fill us with your perfect love today. And we won't fear anything. We won't fear the enemy. We won't fear the way of the world. We won't fear anything because we are loved by you. Let everybody know for an assurity that they are loved. Crazy and all. Backslidden and all. Not whatever state we're in, it does not disqualify us from your everlasting love. So embrace us with that today in the name of Jesus. Bless everyone. Bless Charlemagne. Bless Envy. Bless Jess. Bless this show, God. Let it be a beacon of light and a beacon of hope to everyone who listens. Let it put a smile on people's face, put joy in their heart and a happiness in their day. I thank you for the opportunity to pray over this. And I pray in Jesus' name that it prospers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Prosper.
Amen,
prosper,
brother.
Prosper,
hey,
prosper.
Ty Tribbett.
Hey, I love y'all, man. Thank y'all for having me so much, man.
Thank you. Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.